All right. I will say, as a producer, Dr. Shoshana, Brenda, my friend for a long time, started to say something about at this point in our lives, making sure that the kinds of things that'll give you comfort. How did you say that?
Stability, a sense of comfort, renewal, refreshment, stability, very, very, very important to keep things as stable in your own personal life as you can. Very important right now.
Okay, so we're at just a little bit past the new year, on the 9th of January, talking, and I'm with Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's a wonderful woman. She's an author. She's a
Thank
speaker,
you.
a well-known speaker, and a psychologist and a long-term practitioner of Zen, Judaism, and theater. And you have a latest kind of a book, and you have a blog, and everybody should go on it. We put on it often. On our website, we just cut and paste because we don't need any need for any corrections. So tell us a little bit about yourself and share some things because people really are, in many cases, hurting right now and
Oh, I know.
unstable.
I do.
What should we do? What are some thoughts?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. It's wonderful to see you and to talk with you. Yes, people are hurting tremendously on all different levels for all different reasons right now. And number one, the most important thought is take charge of your attention, what you pay attention to. Our attention is our life, it's our life force. Somehow it's very easy for our attention to get totally pulled off into horror stories. And there are plenty of horror stories. And it's like watching a train wreck. It's not that there's anything wrong with that. It happens, but it really, really affects our immune system. It affects our mental health. Unfortunately, there are so many cases now of tremendous drug abuse, suicide, all kinds of secondary effects to the fear. There is fear running rampant. The fear is more dangerous than anything that's happening because it knocks you off your center. It confuses the mind. You can't think straight. You can't see the possibilities. You can't see that whatever is happening is temporary. You don't see the bigger picture. There are storms all through the world, all through centuries, wars, conflagrations, upsets. And when we're in it, we think that that's all there is and it's never going to end. But when you let go of that fear, when you pull your attention back and say, I'm going to pay attention to being positive, in my case, I do a lot of Zazen practice, meditation, and prayer through Judaism and mitzvot, which I have that podcast, which I love doing. I think it's very important if you can't have a schedule, even if you're not at work, and because we're all in the house, we don't go anywhere, or we go in very limited places. The structure of a day makes a huge, huge difference because otherwise you get up, what am I doing? And one day is like another. And make sure every day you do something that makes you really happy, something you're excited to do, something that you look forward to. And people say, because that's going to take your attention to that. You want to pay attention to the news, what's going on, of course, but just a very The amount of time should be structured, and you've got to be careful. Don't let it pull you, make that your whole life or pull you away. Because also, a lot of people feel very, very helpless to do anything about it right now.
They
And
are
I want to
helpless.
say that's not true. It's not true. We're not helpless.
They're helpless in one sense, but I agree with you. They're not helpless in their own sense of their own being, is what you're saying, which is everything, actually, right?
It's
That's the
everything.
whole in Yiddish, since you do this mitzvah show, that's the whole Megillah.
It is,
It's
but
go on, please.
you're right. It's the whole Megillah, but even more than that, it's said in the Torah and it's said in Zen teachings too. And in all the religious teachings, if we stay very positive and put a lot of love into the consciousness and see the good and the beauty and focus on that, we can actually affect events very, very powerfully. We can, because the conscious, and if there, I I know for a fact that if there is a certain a number of people, exponentially speaking, who are doing this, that it will alter what's going on. But if we're only putting rage into the consciousness, despair, horror, terror, then that's because that's we all pick up the mass consciousness. We're part of it. So not only does it affect our being, but you know, it does say in the Torah that mitzvahs have, and I believe that I've seen it in my life. And it's not logical. It's not rational. But mitzvahs have enormous power to change things. They just do. They just do.
I'm that's my show. Good News Broadcast, really.
I love that show. I love that you do.
It's the share, you know, and I this is our logo that I trademarked. You know, our show is a mitzvah show. I mean, only because everybody I want to talk to is doing good, something I think is good. I am not putting them on because they're doing something bad, because that's one of our stipulations, you know, standards and practices. You could do anything you want. You can paint any way. You can sing. You could do anything you want. You can think any way you want. But if you're going to hurt somebody physically, the party's over. I don't have, and if you're going to say you're better than this politician or that, or this religion or anything, my company, I make the best phone, just tell me what's on your mind about you.
Paul, and I thought this the first time I met you, you are really doing one of the biggest mitzvahs of all. Well, you are the mitzvah, do not do harm. Judge everyone favorably. You're doing that. And that's what I applaud you so deeply for that. And you've been doing it for years.
I had 22, but actually longer. So I'm 71. So
it's fantastic. You're very.
I have been my whole life. This is I'll tell you what, I'm just going to throw in two quick things because you reminded me of them. One is in due respect to somebody who passed. And you might know him, but you touched on a button and I did want to like show some respect to Jerry Jampolsky. Love is Letting Go of Fear, I believe was the name of his book.
Yeah, wonderful man. When did he pass?
He just passed a week or so ago.
I didn't know that, okay.
And so I due respect to his mindset, similar to yours in a loving, caring, kind way to help others grow in his center in San Francisco area, I believe was. That's one thing. The other thing I wanted to throw in also is my mommy. And I want to throw my mommy in because my mommy, Ruth Gutman Slatkis, she was a librarian at Temple Emmanuel on Fifth Avenue. Okay. Yeah. My mommy was a smart one. And so Columbia and the masters in the 1920s, I mean, this was not a common thing for a woman to drive in a little Ford Rumble seat car. From Tarrytown, New York.
Wow.
She was she skipped three grades one year. She's smart. She's just very, very smart and demure and kind, loving, caring, lay nothing. But she gave me an open-minded, the Reverend Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Yeah. Also in the same kind of mindset from where you're speaking about yourself. So you have a new book, right? Tell me about it, please.
It's a very fun book. I have my addiction to writing. It's an addiction. I've written so many books, but this one is called Zen Play, Instructions on Becoming Fully Alive. And it is it's the fun and the joy of, and working with koans, with a Zen koan. And I'm also doing a book now on Jewish koans. And should I tell you what a koan is?
I was going to just ask you.
A koan. Yeah, it's not a kohen. It's a koan. It's a
question. Either one you'd have to explain. Go on.
A koan is a question given by a Zen teacher to a student that grips you. You must answer it. However, you cannot figure it out logically. Rational. It's not rational. It's not logical. No matter how you use your usual strategies to figure it out, they'll never work. So this koan pushes you to go to a different part of yourself and to get that and for the answer to be revealed. And it takes you out of your head and into a much bigger part of your consciousness. It's a fabulous, I worked, as you know, with a Zen teacher for 45 years, my God. The same teacher, this Japanese Zen master. I'm an old-fashioned, loyal folk person, but Now, this book is about how to work with koans and how to make your life into a koan, how to see the problems and the troubles, not as a problem or trouble, but as a koan, and how to engage with it in a completely different way, so that it not only do you have fun with it and grow from it, but you become illuminated by it. So that's very powerful. And we do a workshop based on it called Acting Zen, Making Your Life into a Koan. And we act out all the different parts, every part of the koan. We become that part. We actually act it out. We take, and the same with the problems in our lives. We become one with it. We don't try to judge it or reject it or figure it out. The thing we hate the most, we become one with, and we act that role in the workshop or in the practice. It's very powerful, and it's also very life-giving, because what causes a lot of our torment is going around and around in our mind for answers that never come. We go through the same loops, and we also do what's happening in the world now is engage in catastrophic thinking, catastrophic expectations all the time. So this process just takes you right out of that. It just stops it cold. And Zen practice has huge wisdom and blessings to offer, not just to calm down from sitting, but way beyond that.
What is Zen?
What a question they've asked.
Why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. That question has been asked through the centuries, and all monks go for miles and miles to their teachers, to looking for a teacher in a cave, and they say, what is Zen? It's like saying, exactly. And there's a great answer for that. When this young monk went searching, and he found the teacher, and he said, please, I'm in so much pain. Tell me, what is Zen? What is it? Help me. Because we always look for help from someone else. And the teacher said, I wish I could give you the world, but in the Zen school, we don't have a thing. So beautiful. It's so beautiful. You see, the answers, they're not logical. You have to take it in. You have to work with it. You're not. And he was also saying, you're not going to find your answer from someone else, which is what Zen says. Sit down on the cushion and to find that answer that for yourself. Because that's a koan. What is Zen? It's a koan.
Is Zen was Zen a person? How did Zen... Is Zen Buddhism? What is Zen? How did it evolve? Why those three letters, Z-E-N? What right. is it? Do they have a definition of words?
What I would say is that Zen is a practice of becoming fully human, fully open, and fully alive. My first teacher, Soen Roshi, who's what a great man he was, my God. Anyway, he was like an elf. He was playful. He was funny. He lived for years on a mountain alone. But anyway, he would say, Zen is not a religion. It's not a religion. It's a universal practice of becoming fully human. And he lived that. And it's you. You are, you know, they say, when you become you, Zen becomes Zen. Great answer. It's becoming fully who you are, not who your neighbor is. It's becoming, and it's also what happens for me in my practice. I can just talk about my own experience, which is what we do in Zen instead of a theory. The more I practice, the more loving I notice I become, the more kind, and the more open to everyone. You just see everyone as a part of yourself.
And it evolved from, is there a part of the world that it came out of?
Yes, it comes from the Buddhist tradition. Right. And again, people say, well, it's another religion. Well, some people do relate to it that way with a lot of chanting and different, but that's part of the practice. But Zen has no beliefs, nothing to believe. It's really not a religion, no theology. It's actually a practice. It comes from Buddhism though. Some people do see it as a religion for sure, monks and nuns and all of that. And others don't. So it depends how you take it. It depends, I mean, for me, I practiced with one teacher, as I said, for over 45 years till he passed. And I never took those precepts or anything like that because I consider myself Jewish. I am Jewish, and I also love Jewish practice. And I saw that the more I practiced Zen, the better a Jew I became. The more I understood the heart of it. I didn't really understand it before. I couldn't even do it well before. But the more you can, the more I sat, the more I did my practice. Or if you have the no religion, that's fine too. You can be a better father, a better gardener, a better whatever you do. It whatever you do turns into a prayer. That's how I saw it.
So to Dr. Shoshana, I remember the first time we talked many, many years ago. I said to myself, I could talk to this woman for about 26,000 days, and and learn a lot and be very enamored. The name of the book is, we're gonna hit people with this right now, and that's and we're gonna hit them in a hugging, loving, caring way. We're gonna talk again. The name of your book is what? Again.
Zen Play, Instructions on Becoming Fully Alive. And I also have a podcast, which every single week comes out completely free of charge. For 3 years it's been going. It's called Zen Wisdom for Your Everyday Life.
And the book they can get where?
Amazon. They can get the book on Amazon. And the podcast is on www.zenwisdomtoday.com.
Aha, beautiful.
It's just up there. Go get it. And it really shows how to connect it with your life and the issues that concern you.
Well, you're a smart woman. You're very special. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for saying that. It went into my heart. I needed to hear that so much today.
It's a good thing. You know, we're in that we both are Jewish.
Yes.
I only later on became an interfaith, all faith minister. I don't know if you know that. I'm a reverend, ordained minister. Through Rabbi Gelberman's interfaith seminary organization, of which I produced a TV series on. And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I would like that. At one point, I thought I'd become a rabbi or a cantor, actually. Because I was very deeply involved, and my family was. We built the temple. My grandfather was one of the founding members in Tarrytown. And my father's president, and my aunt, the president of Hadassah, my mother's president of B'nai B'rith. I mean, our family very involved with the Jewish community. And for me, it was a you know, my upbringing. You know, you are, you know, what, nurture nature. You know, this was my thing. And I like it. And I believe in it. But I also realize that I believe in everything. And I really believe in everything that anybody else believes if they're happy believing in it. Because who am I to think that any other religion or any other way of life, as long as it's peaceful, right? So
100%. I knew Rabbi Gelberman and I worked with him my whole life in that institute. I think that's how we met originally.
Oh, there you go. All right. Probably. Boy, he was a brilliant man, wasn't he?
Oh, he was like a father to me. I loved him. He was an amazing man. Do you know what he said after he lost so many of his family in the Holocaust? He said, now I have to live enough for all of them now.
Wow. I could hear those words. You know, Dr.
No anger. He had no anger. He didn't hold on to anger ever at all.
And I invite you, I don't know if you know of it, or you've probably been there, but I'm inviting you to the Actors Temple. Actors Temple? Are you aware of the Actors Temple?
Oh, I know. Oh, I was supposed to do a one-woman show there just before COVID hit. I know Jill House very, very, very well. Is it open now? Are people going?
No, we're not open, but you should join Friday nights and Saturday. We have a service, and really? Rabbi Jill does lead it. And she's wonderful.
I love her. I know her very well. Definitely. I didn't know you were doing it online. Wow.
Well, they're in it. I was on the board for a long time, and then I kind of had too many other things to do.
Oh.
And for me, I love the temple and
it's so beautiful.
Carol Astro, the president, has worked very hard. You have to see it. They redid it.
I've been there. I've been to it. I have, you know, as I said, I'm a playwright. I wrote this play, Where Prayers Come True, which won an award. It's a one-woman show. I was supposed to do a reading of it at the Actors Temple just when COVID hit. It was Friday night, and then I had to leave the city. It was a whole big mess. It was cut short, but I hope to do that reading on Zoom. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to just do it.
Also, so let's do it together. I'll broadcast it if you'd like.
Really?
Okay. I can be one of the broadcasters. We can do a Zoom and make that happen.
I'd love that. And you know what else? I'd love to join you guys on Friday night in Shabbat. So let me know.
I'll forward you her the Actors Temple Bulletin.
Thank you. And the link, that would be great.
Yeah, the whole thing. It's all in there. The whole
Megillah.
We're into Megillahs today. Let me ask you last thought right now, or not last. The first and the last are actually the same thing. I would tell my daughter, if I have a convertible car, I say, Jennifer, am I putting the top up or am I putting the top down? Everything is connected, right? Aren't we a circle? That was my master's thesis.
I feel like I'm with my twin brother. I was thinking, I can't believe the connections and the continuities. It is a circle.
This is, and you know, I will take a second more in that. The fact is that, you know, culture, I'm a one world, I'm a John Lennonist, you know, so I'm a one world guy, no boundaries, no borders. This is the famous photo from the moon, okay, mm-hmm. The blue marble, all right? Mm-hmm. And there's no colors of people and so on and so forth. What's beautiful about the cultures, or even the countries, even though that is segregation, we have these similarities, which, you know, it's just like an Aboriginal tribe, right?
If
they go like this in that Aboriginal tribe, that somebody has told them, little baby who grew up, that means peace. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to have camaraderie.
It's crucial. That's what I loved about the Zendo when I first went. People of all races, all religions. I love it. It's like being in a garden with lots of different flowers. I don't like to be just always everybody the same. I think we learn from being with each other and we grow. And it's the way it's how God made the world, right?
There you go. What is, for Dr. Brenda Shoshana, what is good? What is peace? I'm going to ask you, I ask people different good news or love or hope or peace. I think I'm going to ask you, what is peace for Dr. Brenda Shoshana?
Well, for me, peace is being able to accept all situations and all feelings, including painful ones. It's not the eradication of painful moments or illness, because it's opening up and being able to be one with whatever comes to you and saying thank you for it. Thank you. And then resisting it, and then it goes.
All right, I love you. You're fantastic. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Have a good Shabbos.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.